Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change in not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually, and as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
I thank God for the turnaround. I thank God that it is not as I see, but it is as I know, because of what he has shown us in the spirit. I need you to go over to about two people and tell them, I'm expecting things to turn around. Say, I'm expecting it. Sometimes you have to tell your situation what you know God is about to do. Don't believe the lie before the truth is revealed. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes in the desert when it's hot, it looks like a mirage is there. It looks like water is there. It's a mirage, right? It's that the heat of your situation sometimes can cause you to think that you see things that are not even there. But I want you to know right now that which you are facing is a mirage, and God still has a promise that he's getting ready to release into your life. Hallelujah. How many of you are expecting the promise? I'm expecting it. Hallelujah. My wife was listening to Bishop Jakes this morning, and she didn't know. I don't know if she knew or not, but the word that he was preaching in the background, as I was getting ready, he was preaching in the background. Sometimes you need somebody to preach in the background. Because you see stuff in the foreground. But I thank God what he's speaking in the background. That reminds us of what his promises are concerning us. Because his word speaks louder than the noise in front of me. Right, so see, this is where you have to choose to take your mind and your eyes off of what you see and focus on what it is that God has said and what he's shown you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God the word was blessing me this morning. Amen. And it seems like anytime Barb and I, we look at each other and we just shake our heads. We just get to the point where we just don't know what to say. You try to do everything that you're supposed to do to make sure that your bases are covered, but it seems like somebody keep moving the bases, Deepal. It seems like somebody keeps stretching out the field, but I'm going to keep running. And I'm going to keep preaching. And we're going to keep worshiping. And we're going to keep singing. See, the enemy wants us to stop. But what he don't know is I've got an anchor that's tied to my soul. And it won't let me get out of step and out of alignment with the will of God. And I yet believe at midnight I can still worship. And the chains going to fall. And the prison doors are going to open. I yet believe that God is not a respecter of person. And if he did it for one, he yet will do it for somebody else. I'm looking for the miracle. I'm looking for the miracle. I'm looking for the breaking of day. I see a cloud in the distance, and it's about the size of a man's hand, but I hear the sound. There'll be abundance of rain. I declare that it's getting ready to rain in our lives. I declare it. I'm going to keep speaking it until I see it. I'm going to keep speaking it until I see it. God has shown me in the spirit, so I'm going to speak what I see. And I'm not going to speak what I see on the natural. realize, but I'm going to speak what God said in the spirit realm. Because I've got a word, I can speak forth those things that be not as though they were. I'm speaking through the noise. I'm speaking through the mess. I'm speaking through confusion. I'm speaking through lack. God has turned it all around. And watch this. And he worked it out for good. For good. I'm going to have a testimony after this. You're going to have a testimony after this that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the hearts of men. People are going to ask you, how did that happen? And the only thing you'll be able to say is the God I serve. Because it's not about me. It's all about him. Oh, I'm waiting for the expansion of our testimony. So whatever we have to learn in the process, I'm going to learn in the process. So that my testimony can be filled up. Come on, clap your hands and bless the Lord. Woo. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Because the fact of the matter is, we've got things going on in our lives that have the potential to cause us to lose our mind. Real stuff. Right? Real issues. Real devil. Fighting against everything that God says, a real devil. I'm going to tell you something. It's not the person that you see in front of you that's causing the hell. Aha! Don't put the onus on the wrong person. It's not your family member. It's not your spouse. It's not your siblings. It's not your kids. It's not them. It's the devil. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. Look, some of them don't know that they're being used by the enemy. But God's going to get the glory. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you come through them same ones that cause you the most hell, you're going to go right back to and witness to them. Some of them gonna get saved. Y'all gotta get happy over that part too. Because sometimes we don't wanna go back and talk to our enemies. Oh, watch this. The way God is getting ready to bring you out, you're not even gonna have to go back and talk to them about what they did. You're just gonna talk about how God transformed your life. Take them out the equation and give God the glory for all the things that he has done. I'm going to tell you something. This right here is the Lord's doing. And I'm here to tell you, and it's wonderful in my eyes. You got to say it over your own situation. Say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's wonderful in my eyes. Got to. Sometimes you got to tell your situation, you're not going to affect me the same way you used to. I've been through too much, devil. And you thought that I was going to cower and have a pity party. But what you don't know is my God always causes us to triumph. So because I know I can't cry over what I'm getting ready to rejoice in, I might not be able to thank him for it, but I can thank him in it. I'm in the middle of it, and I'm saying thank you. I'm not going to wait till it's over to say thank you. Because sometimes you can forget some of the narrative and miss the point. But while I'm going through it, I'm going to say thank you. So I can remember the lesson. Somebody else's life depends on you coming through this with the right perspective. Jesus. I'm talking to y'all, but I'm talking to me. Because at the end of the day, it's about their soul. It's about their soul. Let me tell y'all a testimony. Remember I told y'all all the stuff I was going through at work? My boss came and told me it's not fair what they're doing. It's not fair what they're doing to you. But you know when he said it? When I made up my mind to stop fighting my way. When I stopped trying to box my way out the cage. And I allowed the Lord to fight my battles. Watch this. Soft answers still turns away wrath. I'm going to tell you, I became so calm, I think it scared them. This is why the Bible tells you soft answers turns away wrath. They don't know what to do with your calm when all hell is breaking loose. This is why God says when you keep your mind stayed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. The enemy don't know what to do with perfect peace. Because perfect peace is made perfect when all hell is breaking loose. The world gets peace when all things are right. But the saints get peace when all hell breaks loose. And they don't understand why we're being buffeted, but we're still giving thanks and praise and glory and honor to God. It confuses the enemy. Your soft answer is your praise. Because praise is more than just praise and worship and a song. Praise is more than just praise and worship, a song and a dance. That's more, praise and worship is your response that honors God when your enemy comes up and gets in your face and thinks that you're going to cuss back, but you begin to give God thanks right in the middle. That's a praise. Y'all ain't got to say nothing to me. But every time I think about what God is doing, I feel myself getting more free. I feel myself being more delivered. Because watch this. The chains that the enemy tries to put on you is not just a shackle on your wrist, but it's a shackle over every faculty that you use to give God glory. So when you speak to God, I'm free. You might just be free here. But faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Right? And this is why the Bible tells us, the Lord tells us when he came out of the wilderness, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. So when you begin to recall those words that he has spoken in his word, I was free like this, but as I keep speaking, I'm gonna keep getting freer. And in the midst of it, I'm free. I might still, look, the chains are broke, but the prison door might still be closed, but midnight's coming and I'm getting ready to shout. All right, y'all can sit down for a minute. Worship your way out of this. The message that I'm preaching is saying there's a purpose in seeking God. The purpose in seeking God is so that you can see his face. And when you see his face, you can't see anything else. God is so big that he fills up spaces. Think about that for a minute. When you see him and you seek him and you magnify him, you can't make him bigger than he already is. But in your mind, you think about him more than your situation. Thus magnifying him in the midst of what you're going through. And when you do that, he fills up that space of heavy-heartedness and depression and loneliness. He fills up that space with himself. You're talking about deliverance setting in? You're talking about being able to speak to somebody with love and you know they hate you? this kind of stuff don't happen if you don't get into the presence of the Lord. See, in his presence, you see him. Outside of his presence, all you see is you. In his presence, his will is made known. Outside of his presence, our desires are made known. Right? We try to figure stuff out, but we got to get into his presence so that we can see what he wants from us. I'm not going to yield to what I will do, but I want to yield and be obedient to your will. I could say some things. And in my flesh is telling me, you should. Go ahead and make yourself feel better and say what you need to say. You can go home and then you can be at peace. How many know that's a lie? That's a lie. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to speak out of turn and say anything. I'm going to let the Lord speak for me. Somebody said what they wrote on that paper is not your character. And not only do we see it, but there are people all around the organization that's like, now, wait a minute. Watch this. When your ways please God, he will make even your enemies. To be at peace with you. The children of Israel were told not to fight the battle. And you know what God did? He confused their enemy. And they started fighting each other. Sometimes it's not what you say, but it's what you don't say. Where you get your greatest deliverance. So where they all were in alignment, they're falling out of alignment. Because God is breaking down their cadence. You got to let God do it. Amen? All right. I'm going to try to get through this word. Because there is indeed a purpose in seeking the Lord. And Isaiah 55, 1 through 7 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come and buy milk and wine without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear unto me, hear, and your soul will live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness of the people, a leader to the commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We talked about what it is to be one who seeks the Lord. Sometimes it's thought of one who prays, but it's more than just praying. It requires seeking the face of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." And then not only do we stop there, but we seek the face of God, and then we turn from our wicked ways. It's a process. All of these things have to work together. First of all, we have to become his people. Step number one, we have to be his. Step number two, we have to know what we are. We have been called by his name. then we have to first humble ourselves. Before we can seek the face of God, we have to see the need to seek the face of God. So we have to seek him and pray and seek his face and pray. Humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and then turn from our wicked ways. When we make our mind up to stop turning in the face of wicked, then we'll be able to hear the voice of heaven. When I can stop looking at what I think I should be looking at long enough, I'll be able to hear what God has to say concerning my situation. Then I'll hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Being a seeker of God is an expectation. It's an expectation for every believer. Every born again Christian is to be a seeker of God. And seeking out and drawing out unbelievers, God places this desire within our hearts. It's nothing that we desire in our own accord, but this is God that does the work for us. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 says it like this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We all had our conversation there, right? But God, who was rich in mercy, his great love wherein he has loved us. When we were dead in sin, he quickened us up together. God didn't wait for us to get ourselves together before he healed us, but he healed us before we even knew that we were sick. Hallelujah. This is why we have to be able to love others before they are lovable. We have to be patient with people before they recognize that they out of order, right? Because God looked at us, and before we even asked for help, he threw out the lifeline, right? And this is how we have to be. We have to be that because we have been given much. We have to give so much grace because we've been given so much grace. Hallelujah. Amen. So we should seek the Lord. The Bible says that if happily we find him, we will find him from seeking him. For it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. The Christian life as we know it, it begins with God, it exists with God, and it ends with God. In him all things consist. So it's vital for the believer to be a seeker of God. Hallelujah. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I thank God for giving us the word of God that is filled with promise. Hallelujah. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. God has the power so we won't leave out empty. Right? Hallelujah. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The only way your mind is renewed is when you seek the face of God and sit in his presence. I need to be able to think about my situation in a new way, and I can't do it sitting with myself, having a long conversation with myself. Right? Because out of myself is going to come the desire to be eased from pain, from strife and trouble, right? From the mouth of people, I can get a person's mouth off me real quick. Something we say, but y'all know y'all still throw hands. Real. It's real talk. We know what to do. It's not like we're physically inept of handling ourselves in a battle. But because of who we belong to. Sometimes our solutions aren't God's solutions. Right? And we have to be able to seek the wisdom and the counsel of God to know how to act in the middle of turmoil. Hallelujah. Don't make decisions too fast, because God might have something that he wants to say. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what comes first for the seeker of God is always God. Matthew 6 and 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So here are some things that we have to seek after, right? When we talk about seeking God, what is it? It's the precepts of God that we're after. Number one, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." We are walking in the wideness of God's provisional place. I can stay here and I can walk here because I have yet to reach the expanse of who God is. Right? Every day that we live in him, we find out more about him. We will never get to the place where we have exhausted the person of who God is. I have yet to know you as much as I've come to know you. Hallelujah. The book of Revelations tells us that there are those, the elders, that sit around the throne and they cry day and night, "Holy and holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." You know why they cry holy? Because every time they say holy, what they're saying is, "I have just seen new revelation of who you are." So day and night for eternity, they sit and they cry and say, "Holy." So just as much as we think we know, I'm here to tell you, you don't know half as much as we know about God. But the part that we do know about him, holy. Hallelujah. We have so much more. This is why we cannot stop seeking God. He's got so much more for us to see. There's so much more for us to learn. Hallelujah. So we have to continue to seek after the precepts of God. Number two, we have to seek after the righteousness of God, that we might be holy as he is holy, that we might be transformed with the renewing of the mind. We have to put on the mind of Christ. What is that? That means in the morning, you have to make up your mind to get up and be a Christian. Now, I'm going to say it like this. When you're saved, you're saved. But you got to put on the mind. I have literally got to put the word on my mind. Because there's going to be enough stuff that's going to hit me all day long that if I don't keep your word fresh on my mind, I'm going to lean to my own understanding. And then in all of my ways, I won't always acknowledge you. So I have to keep you fresh. I got to keep your word fresh. I have to keep this thing encapsulated around cranium region. Just think about yourself. It only takes a second for you to step right out the spirit and into the flesh. Right? There's a war that always goes on between the spirit and between the flesh. Right? Paul says, "Oh, what a wretched man that I am. That which I would do, that I don't do. And that I don't want to do is that I find myself doing." I found out, and I know you all know, when I seek to do good, evil is always present. It was a movie. I don't know what movie it was. He said, "But every time I try to get out, they keep pulling me back in." It just takes the right situation for you to find out how much of you is still kicking. And every time we find out how much of us is still kicking, that's a reason for us to keep seeking. Yes. Hallelujah. We've got to keep seeking the face of God. Seek the righteousness of God. Hosea 10 and 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Sow to yourself in righteousness so you can reap mercy. Sow righteousness so you can reap mercy. I told you once before, don't get mad at the seed. You need to look at the harvest, because the harvest is the telltale sign of the seed that's been sown. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it's time to do what? Seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness on you. We have to humble ourselves so that the ground can be tilled. I remember when I moved in my house, the ground was hardened after everybody left. When they did the exterior, they left, but they took one of those steamroller type things and they went over where the grass is supposed to be laid. And it was so compacted and so hard that when it would rain, the rain would just roll off the dirt. So if there were seed would not have been able to be watered, and there would be no growth because it was too hard. Sometimes life will roll you over that it causes you to be so hardened that water cannot penetrate the surface. And a seed of righteousness cannot be sown. So, you know, I had to go out there and I had to get an auger. And when I bought the house, I was much younger than I am right now. I wouldn't have tried to do it, Deepaw, if I moved into the house today. But I had a manual auger, right? I had to manually go out there and place this in the dirt, and I had to stick it in the dirt and twist it. And I had to stick the auger in, and I had to twist it. And one thing I learned is that's how prayer and worship is. You've got to make that an act of your will, where you've got to see the hardness, but you've got to step in through prayer, step in through worship, step in through reading the word of God, and allow, you got to work all of that stuff. Stop denying all those areas in you. Stop denying that it's there. But when God shows you an area that's in your life, stop denying it. Stop avoiding it and turning your face from it. It's you. He's showing you the real you. Allow him to put that auger in and to tear up that dirt, because he wants seed to be sown so that a harvest can come afterwards. Hallelujah. So we have to be able to seek the righteousness of God. And then we have to seek the strength of God. We have to live according to his commandments and his ways. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Watch this. Seek his face continually. I just believe that when words are defined, it means what it means. Continually means continually. In other words, don't stop seeking them. There's going to come a reason why your flesh will tell you, stop seeking. Disappointment will try to help you change your mind. When an outcome doesn't come out the way that you thought it was, you'd be inclined to stop seeking. But I will seek him how? Continually. Seek the Lord. Seek his strength. Seek the Lord. Seek his strength. Where is his strength made perfect? In our weakness. Seek him in our moments of weakness. Right? The enemy not going to bring you somebody else's weakness. He's going to bring you your weakness. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the enemy. The enemy, I heard a message, and I don't want you to believe this message. I heard it, and I don't want you to believe it, because it's not just not right. All right? All right? They said, that the enemy can peek into your future. And he can see and what God is getting ready to do. And then he's going to go before and try to thwart the plan of God. The devil is a lie. The enemy is not omnipresent. That is a distinction that belongs to only God. Here's what the devil know he missed his shot. Y'all can not shout if y'all want to. But the enemy knows that he messed up. And because he is the devil, he don't want to get it right. Right? He's still believing that he's right. So here's what he knows. Because the enemy knows that whatever God touches, he transforms. Whatever God speaks over, it has to come to pass because God can't lie. So because you surrender to God, you become a threat to the enemy because the devil knows the God that you serve. So the enemy not peeking into your future. He watching you to try and learn your habits. To try to see what he can try to bring at you. This is what he does. The Bible says that the enemy goes to and forth like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now watch this. I'm going to tell you something. I studied that scripture out. And when it says the enemy goes to and forth like a roaring lion, it means that he's an old lion. I'm going to tell you, something that's characteristic about old lions is their teeth get brittle. So what the roaring lion does is the roaring lion makes a bunch of noise to cause fear to set in so they can run you into an ambush. That's what the enemy tries to do. He goes to and forth roaring, trying to cause fear to creep in your heart to get you to run. And when you run into the young lion. That's where Betty and Dwayne at. That's where your friends at that you used to know, who can recall what you used to do. And how you used to, he runs you into that. He runs you into folk that recalls your past to you to cause it to mess with your mind today. So he goes to and forth. This old lion goes around making noise. This is why you got to be able to stand, ye therefore, in the whole armor of God. So you can be aware of the wiles and the schemes of the old toothless decayed lion. Keep dressed, but you stay dressed when you get into his presence. You got to keep seeking the face of God. Psalm 105 and 4 says, seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face forever. Hallelujah. And then we don't stop there, but we have to seek the counsel and direction of God. Right? I'm going to stop after I get to this number five, I think. But I got a whole lot to tell you this morning. We have to seek the will and the counsel and direction of God. Psalm 32 and 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He says that I will instruct thee. How are you going to get instruction if you don't get in his presence? The only way to pass a class is to go. You have to go. You have to be there, right? As grueling as it is. You know, those last few weeks before graduation, I hated going to class. I hated it. I could smell the diploma and the pomp and circumstance. I was ready for it to be over. But in order for me to get the prize, I had to keep running until the end. Amen? So we have to be in the place where instruction is in order for us to know the will, counsel, and direction of God. And then afterwards, after all of those things, we thank God for the blessings that come. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 112, 1 through 3 says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. And watch this. And wealth and riches shall be in your house, and his righteousness endures forever. So when you seek after the wisdom and counsel of God, you might be in a rough situation, but when God tells you to stay and not move, sometimes staying is where your blessing is. Now, I'm not talking about you at home getting abused and beat up. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, you know, you can't stand nobody on your job. And you so ready to go that you willing to go be a waitress at Denny's. Because it looks like it's going to be peace over there, right? But you can't. Don't make a crazy move to try and find peace, because it's temporary. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but who delivers? The Lord. If the Lord is going to bring you out, let him bring you out his way. Don't free yourself. Let him free you. Because he might want to free you by binding up your enemy. I remember I was at a job, and this guy, I had injured my foot, and he was trying to fire me. I just got married. He was trying to fire me because I injured my foot and said that I injured my foot on purpose. Why? Why would I want to do that? I'm not some sadistic individual just say, oh, I love pain. All right? And that's I'm not that. Why would I want to hurt myself? Right? I said, Lord, I can't handle this. This guy is just trying to do me wrong. I was young in the Lord too. The Lord took that guy and moved him right on out the department. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. How many of that built confidence? That built my trust and confidence in God. I said, thank you. I started getting older in the Lord. I moved to another position, making a little bit more money. And I said, Lord, thank you for the blessing. I had a boss, and she was something else. That's all I'm going to say. She was something else. But she was so something else that I just started saying, Lord, you got to move her. Because it worked before. Right? I'm in your presence and you moved him. So I'm coming right back in your presence saying, you got to move her, Dad. You know what God said in his presence to me? Nah, you got to deal with this one, son. You got to go ahead and go through that one. But do you know that as a result of me staying there, her and I developed a relationship that everybody else didn't like her, but I was like, why? I understand the mission and the motive of what she's trying to do. May not always like the method, but I get where she's trying to take me. And because I stayed and because she stayed, God used that download that she gave me sometimes that I didn't want to hear to prepare me to get promoted, watch this, without the education. Because she invested in my future. Sometimes we might jump right out the pan into the fire. So when you seek the face of God, and you have to be willing to hear his answer. Sometimes God's answer is not the answer that we will want for ourselves. Hallelujah. God told me something today. I'm going to wait. I'm going to tell y'all this testimony later after the testimony has been monified. You got to wait until the test is over. Then I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to tell you what I heard God say. But he said something to me today, and I was just like, all right, Lord. Don't y'all know that sometimes you're going to hear things like that? Sometimes you hear God say yes. You hear God say wait. And sometimes in his presence you hear him say no. And we have to be able to accept when God says no. He sang it for a reason. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is his rule and reign over us. So it is God's rule that Christians must submit their lives to him before everything else. When we're seeking God, we're seeking his rule and his reign over us. Hallelujah. There's an aspect of our relationship with God where we become to know him. We get to a place where we know him as Savior. But then there's another level of relationship with God where we know him as Lord. I love those medieval type movies where the pageantry and you know, the pomp and circumstance and the honor. And I love it. I love it. But one thing about a Lord and his subjects, the subjects never disobey an order from the Lord. When you're seeking God, he will make known to you what his desires are for you. And then we have to get up and make a decision. Seeking God is one thing, but after we've sought his face, we have to obey him as Lord and be able to do what he's calling us to do and asking us to do. Sometimes when you want to talk, the Lord says no. Sometimes when you want to run, the Lord says no. Sit yourself down and be still and wait. Sit down, be still and wait. Be quiet and wait. Don't say anything. They're going to say, well, yes, you're going to be frustrated many days. Don't respond to your frustration. Yes, you're going to be mad many days. Don't speak in your anger. Y'all hear that echo that just came in? Sounds like, you know, a movie like God is speaking to you. This is what God, this is what God is saying to you. And I hear him saying that to you right now. I'm looking at your faces and you got conversations that you want to have with people. You got words for some folks. God says, shh. In the middle of your frustration while you having your tantrum, God is saying, shh. I can dig myself out of this faster than anybody. I can figure this out fast. Shh. Wait on the Lord. He's going to strengthen your heart. He said, wait on him. He's going to strengthen you. Wait on him. He's going to strengthen you. He didn't say, wait on me and I'm going to fix it immediately. He says, wait on me and I'll strengthen you to be able to deal with it. He said, I'm not telling you to wait on them so I can just move them out of your way. I'm telling you wait on them so I can give you the right frame of mind so you can stay in there and not fall out of peace. All right. Y'all, can I have 5 minutes? All right. We have to be able to love God's direction. Love it. Even if it's against us, we have to love God's direction. God, I'm gonna love whatever your answer is. I was talking to a colleague this past week, and I said, I think sometimes what God brings us to is he allows us to be able to communicate with him to get all of those emotions out of us, right? And I love God that he allows us to speak, you know, get all those things out. Now that you have emptied yourself of everything you feel, here's what I want you to say. But did you know that it's possible for you to get into a situation, and before you start crying and complaining about it, you can just seek the wisdom and the counsel of God and just be silent. We have to be able to grow to that area. It's growth. It's not automatic. It's going to take growth to be able to get there. But God loves us in the process, right? And we don't always go into his presence the right way. And, you know, he don't lock the door. He wants us there, right? Mistakes and all, flaws and all, issues and all. He wants us there. He's doing a work in us. The presence of God, we're not talking about some mystical place, right? You don't have to go burning incense and lighting candles and chants and beads. And we don't need all of that. You know, when my heart is overwhelmed, I can go to the rock that's higher than I. And I can just say, Jesus. Walking through my plant at work, I can say, Jesus, I am frustrated. And I'm getting ready to snap. And I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I'm getting ready to cuss somebody out. And I need you to help me. I remember driving down 75 and I was just saying, Lord, help me. My mind is messed up. Help me. I'm not thinking thoughts that bring you glory. Help me. Help. I can't help nobody unless you help me. And how many of you know when you ask, God will help you? This is what he does. God will help you when you ask. But we've got to seek him. Right? And it's not just for religious observance. Not just here. But when you at home by yourself, where there is no praise team and there is no musician, you have to stand there and in the presence of God by yourself, right? I'm a strong guy, and my tear ducts don't really work. I'm not a crier, in other words. I just don't cry over things. But I got to the point of frustration and anger that I couldn't allow her to see my tear ducts beginning to work. So I had to go out the house and into the garage, and it's cold out there, and she don't come out there. So I had to stand in the garage, and I had to get myself together, right? Sometimes, you got to walk away from folk so you can get to a place where it's just you and the Lord, so God can help you to get together, right? You call on the name of the Lord and he will answer you. But it doesn't happen unless you seek him. I'm in trouble and I need an answer. I gotta seek the Lord. I'm in the middle of a situation and I don't know what to do. It don't always have to be a bad thing. I just don't know what to do. When you say, I don't know what to do, that's a good place. For the believer, that's a good place because it drives us to a place where we seek the face of God. Then the last place is, just because I thank you, just because I love you, just because I honor you, just because you're God, I come to seek fellowship with you. God's altar, the presence of God, is not just the counselor's chair, but it's a place of worship. Watch this. Do you know the word worship means worth-ship? I worship you just because you're worth it. So nothing has to be going on. It's just we're in a relationship. And I know how much you're worth to me. So God, in the middle of nothing happening, I worship you. You ever wake up in the morning and just say, oh Lord, I love you. Thank you for allowing me to see a brand new day. Right? This is the early. I get up early to seek the face of God. The day hasn't started. Nobody's come to me and says, Pastor LaShawn still asleep, Blue still asleep. No, nobody is up in the house. It's just me and the Lord. And Father, good morning. Lord, I love you. Thank you for allowing me to breathe. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not thinking about what I need. I'm not thinking about what I want. I'm not thinking about what's going on. I'm not thinking about what has happened, but I'm just thinking about you and how worth it all you are. That's enough to seek God's face. Amen. Amen. I'm done. I got so much more. Hallelujah. Come on and stand with me. Father, I'm praying for your people this morning that you would grant to us a seeker's heart. Father, give us to seek your face in the name of Jesus, not just to wait until trouble hits, not just to seek you when we need something, but all of our lives, every day, continually to seek you, just to say thank you. Father, we thank you with our whole heart and our whole mind. We come to you, Father, because you are our Lord. You are our source. But we're also thanking you, God, because you are our friend and our counselor. We thank you because you're our strength, our redeemer, our sustainer. We thank you, God, because you are for us a mind regulator. Father, we could think back over many areas where we've had hardened hearts, God, but you've helped us to soften our hearts. You've been a heart regulator for us. Father, you know the pain that we have had to endure down throughout the years. We've not always had good, effective relationships. We've not always done the right thing, said the right thing, acted the right way. But we thank you that even in the face of all that, you know everything, but you still welcome us to be in your presence. Father, for that, we thank you today. And Father, we declare and we decree that we'll practice being in your presence on a daily basis, seeking your counsel and your wisdom, seeking your love and your strength, just to be in your presence. Father, we decree and declare that you are enough. We won't look to the left or to the right, but all of our heart's affection will look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In the name of Jesus. Father, empty us of us and fill us up with you in your presence, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Christy, I need you to come.
Perhaps there's someone that may be watching or someone that may be in the room that don't know Jesus and the pardoning of your sins. We don't want you to go home or to leave this broadcast this morning without meeting him, being introduced to him. For he is our Savior and he is our Lord. And if you don't know him, you've never invited him in, or perhaps you once walked with him and walked away. Today can be your day of change and transformation. Just repeat after me. My dear Heavenly Father, you know the depths of my heart. I come to you now, acknowledging that I am a sinner in need of your abundant grace. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I thank you right now, Lord, for coming into my heart, saving me from my sin, washing me in your blood, and filling me with your spirit. I confess that you, Lord Jesus, are my Savior and my Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcasts, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.